You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcasts, will food costs really continue to ease? What today's producer price index says about the future direction of inflation and the US economy continuing to slow? All the details next. Hi everyone, it is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Friday, the 31st of January 2025. The Australian share market closed at yet another record today. We'll have the details with David Scutt from StoneX in a few moments. But first, earlier this week, the official inflation figures showed overall food prices grew at their slowest pace since 2021 over the last 12 months at 3%, and some actually went backwards. A breakdown of the data reveals cheese, ice cream, fish and milk were all cheaper than a year ago, but some were dramatically higher, namely lamb, eggs and oil. And with the Australian dollar now likely to stay under pressure because of the potential for lower interest rates here, currency effects will mean some food prices may stay higher for longer. So for more, I spoke with Stefan Vogel, General Manager at Rubber Research Australia. Stefan, firstly, how is Australia's agri sector generally placed in 2025 and why?
We're actually placed fairly well for what's coming in 2025. You look at a soil moisture that isn't as great as last year, but we have a couple of areas, especially here in New South Wales, but also up in Queensland, even parts of the other areas around where we're looking in a positive way in that regard. We see also that 2025, in our view, will be a production year that is overall strong. So we had good volumes of many products last year, and we think 25 can about replicate that. So livestock has done well last year, especially the beef and sheep volumes were good, and we see that repeating once again. And that's where I think a lot of the drive comes from. Plus prices are better, especially in the livestock sector, than maybe in the grain sector. So overall, we're pretty well placed.
How is the lower Australian dollar impacting it?
The lower Australian dollar, and we actually expect it to continue to be weak throughout 2025, is helping us a lot on the export side. So against the US as a competitor and export market, we see the dollar helping us quite a bit here to be competitive. However, we also see some of our competing nations having also weak currency. So we're talking the likes of Brazil, we're talking the likes of Russia and so on. But overall, we see that it's helping. Where it really makes it difficult is when you look at all the imported goods. And we're on the farm side bringing in fertilizers, we're bringing in chemicals, we're bringing in energy. So all these things we obviously have to pay for in dollar terms. And that means when we look at it here from an Australian dollar perspective, it's going to cost us more.
Okay, what does this all mean then for the overall Australian economy?
I think for the economy overall, it is a good sign. Agriculture is an important part of the economy over here. It's an important employer as well. So with that, we see the labor market for us to slightly soften, but still labor has been an issue on some of the farms. But in terms of the providing volumes, I think the agri GDP has been good last year, and we see that going forward. So we look at it not so much as a GDP. We look at it as a commodity index, what we call it. We see that one trending up. So right now we're sitting right about at the 10-year average with that index. And that is a combination of production volumes that we're seeing multiplied with the prices. Going forward into 2025, we see it actually tending slightly higher, getting closer to the five-year average, which was a really good average because we had some massive years in there from production volume. So overall, 25 looks optimistic, and it's driven by good dairy pricing that has moved already higher. So we're actually looking at dairy as one of the good sectors here, profitable sectors. We're seeing also the drive coming from the big producers of beef and sheep meat, where prices have recovered from the lows we had last year and late in 2022. So these are all good news. We see them largely going sideways and volume strong. In the grain side of things, we have just harvested a pretty strong crop despite some dryness in South America, South Australia, in parts of Victoria. So looking at these volumes, looking at prices that have some upside potential, that is all lifting our index slightly up.
Okay, so a lot of what we've spoken about are for the producers, right? What about the impact for consumers? And if we can relate that to the recent inflation data that we saw this week, they've been food prices have been easing over the past few quarters, but they're still above inflation on an annual basis, right, at 3%. Looking ahead, where do you see food prices going?
Well, there's always a time lag between what producers are getting on farm and what we see in the supermarket, and sometimes they are very different either. And so that has to do pretty much a lot of the pricing we get on farm is coming from global. So we're a big exporter and the global market dominates what the prices will be. Locally, we see that some of these extended costs move through the chain. So you have higher wheat prices from a while ago that finally moves then into higher bread prices. And then it takes a time to come down for bread prices when wheat was already lower as an important input for the flour side. So overall, as a consumer, the optimistic data here, or the good data that we actually got the other day from the December CPI, I think that looks actually promising for us that they are rather low. We don't expect too many upswings there going forward, but it's going to be hard for all that imported food to see inflation coming down, because obviously we're not only paying for it with the weak Australian dollar that makes imported food expensive, but we're also looking at some of the costs from energy and so on that will still be in that pocket of farmers. The costs on farm are higher than they were in the past. So consumer food prices right now, a good sign going forward. Hopefully we see them slightly diminishing, but not at a quick rate.
Okay, so are there any types of foods then that you will see struggling to come down with inflation or becoming more expensive, and why? And you were talking about a lot of those imported foods. What are they exactly?
If you think about as a consumer right now, we have a few things going on. First of all, consumers try to still find value even so things are more expensive. So we see that the grab towards non-branded products, private label, is increasing. Food at home is still a rather strong part compared to eating out. So the consumer tries to find value. The other part we're seeing in supermarkets, obviously, is the imported food. We need to pay for that with our very weak Australian dollar. And we're talking olive oil comes in from abroad. It's a small part of what we're eating, but it is there. There are a lot of ingredients like cocoa and coffee. We are paying for that from the world market side of things. And these products are rather expensive at the global level, especially cocoa prices have risen a lot in the last year, but also coffee, just because of supply shortages that were often weather related. And coffee is produced in a handful of countries to a big extent, cocoa in two countries or three countries. So as soon as you have a weather problem there, it feeds into higher prices. We have to pay for that. So when we go to the supermarket, those products are high. And on top of that, we had a rather strong freight rate. So if you look, a lot of containerized goods are coming into this country. So a lot of food is in a container. These container ship rates have gone up quite a bit with the Houthi attacks we had in the Red Sea. So over there, a lot of the traffic, about a third of the container vessels were going through that area of Suez Canal, Red Sea. They all diverted to different regions. Now, as a follow-up of the ceasefire in Israel, we have seen the Houthis say, we don't attack the ships anymore, but the market hasn't reacted to yet. The market is still looking and thinking, well, tomorrow they may change their mind. So they still go around Africa, which adds more travel time, adds more costs. So whatever we bring in, we pay more through the currency, we pay more through the freight rate. And as I said, also a lot of the domestically produced products are still looking at rather strong energy costs, rather strong wages. So all of that makes food rather expensive these days and will give us a tough time to see the CPI and food fall dramatically from here on forward, probably.
That's Stefan Vogel there from Rabo Research.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
Another great day for the Australian share market, up 0.5% on the S&P ASX 200, 8,532. That is another record close. For more details, I spoke with David Scutt, market analyst at StoneX. David, so the ASX at another record high again today. Why?
More than one reason. You've got to go and look at what's going on US earnings season. Earnings have definitely held up there okay. Also, look at the date, Ricardo. Month ends, you've got to be a little bit skeptical about some of the gains we're seeing come through. Another factor that's not really talked about as well is the Aussie dollar. The weaker Aussie dollar really helps the miners in particular. Commodity prices are hanging up as well. So that's a good, a bullish sign for the local index as well.
The other thing is local interest rates. We've seen a number of the big four banks now reverse their decision in terms of when they think we'll see the first rate cut from the RBA, namely Westpac and NAB changing their mind from May to February. Do you think a rate cut in 2 weeks done is a done deal in Australia now?
As close as a done deal can be at this point in time. Look, we're about 93% priced. And really, it came down to what the RBA signaled back in December of last year. It did that dovish pivot coming through. That was the sowing the seeds. The fertilizer was the trimmed mean rate, that deceleration we saw in the December quarter. That really makes it difficult to go and argue the point that there's been no further progress. Indeed, there's been a lot more progress than what it thought. So in my view, yes, it's going to be very, very likely that the RBA cuts rates by 25 basis points.
Is inflation still a problem, though? We had today the producer price index, which will point to inflation down the track, right? Is there any support in those numbers suggesting of an easing in inflation?
Not particularly. Indeed, pipeline pressures are probably arguably still there at the moment, a 0.8% increase quarter on quarter. That's still pretty punchy. And when you look around what's going on in other parts of the world, we're noticing that inflation measures, whilst they're starting to go and come down in the rate of change, they're still pretty elevated at this point in time. So for us here locally, you've got to remember too that we're seeing signs that consumer spending is starting to go pick up. So if you have the combination of pipeline pressure still coming through and consumers starting to go and demand more, there's pricing power there. So to say that inflation is dead and buried is probably a little bit premature.
Do you think that's something that the US is concerned about? The US held interest rates this week. GDP overnight showing that annual growth is at 2.3%. What do you think it means for investors and currencies and the implication for rate moves down the track?
Look, directional risks for the Fed are still to the downside, although it's going to be a very shallow easing cycle after the 100 basis points has already been seen. You mentioned there 2.3% annualized. That was a little bit less than expected, but still very, very strong. And you look what's going on in the labor market in the United States as well. It's very difficult to go and make the case, given there's been no real concrete improvement in inflationary pressures over the last couple of months, that there's a need to go and move at this point in time. So the Fed, it looks like it's very much on hold for the time being until it feels confident that either labour market conditions will start to weaken a little bit or it sees inflationary pressures start to go and decelerate once again. That's not at the moment.
You mentioned that weaker Australian dollar helping the miners today, right? Commodities in general not doing too badly, particularly gold, are pretty much trading at a record. Why is that?
Look, gold, from a technical perspective, technical analysis perspective, is just trending beautifully at the moment. So a lot can be put back to what's going on in that space. Don't discount uncertainty as well out there at the moment. There is plentiful, particularly when it comes to geopolitics. And another thing when it comes to some of those industrial metals as well is the fact that we've got Donald Trump threatening to go and put 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico from tomorrow. And you think about what the consequences are, to me, it probably explained by the fact that you've got some people out there who are looking to go and bring forward purchases in the fear that there might go and be an escalation in that trade war to a global scale.
Okay, everyone's also looking to earnings, both in the US. I think reporting season's well and truly underway in the US. Australia, it's just starting right now. How important do you think this season will be? And what are the things that you're looking out for?
At the individual stock level, yes, it's very important. We've seen valuations across a lot of sectors still very, very elevated. So even a slight miss is likely to be punished. At the macro level, at the index level, though, because you've got such big components coming through in the banks and the miners, unless there's a really big shock there, and generally there's not, it doesn't have the same ramifications. As always with earnings season, it's always going to come down to the outlook as well. Talk it up, you're likely going to be benefited.
And finally, at this point of time, where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Look, across the different asset classes at the moment, in the currency space, I don't mind the Japanese yen and the Swiss franc because there's a lot of good news priced into the US dollar. And if we get an episode where there's some global turmoil, risk off, that would likely go and benefit those two currencies. I also don't mind long bonds for that exact reason as well, from those who are looking to go and preserve capital at this point in time. Chinese stocks as well, still stream incredibly cheap, and they're still very, very much unloved. So that's one of those contrarian plays out there. And we talked about gold earlier on. I still like gold on pullbacks. There's a lot of demand out there for understandable reasons as well.
David Scott there from StoneX, a market analyst. Don't forget, if you do like this podcast, give it a rating or a view wherever you listen to this podcast from.
This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision. This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.